Isaiah 22, and I would like for us to read verse 22. Isaiah 22:22. Okay. This verse says, "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open." There's another reference to a door, and it's in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. The Bible says there, Jesus is speaking, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." Tonight I'd like to just give a little shorter Bible study on the three lessons learned in the hall of life. The three lessons learned in the hall of life. We spend about a third of our time in our life asleep if we go to bed and sleep like we ought to. Sleep becomes the hallway between the daily segments of our lives. Probably more than half of the time left each day is taken up with work or taking care of home and family. It has been said that we spend 9 years watching TV. In more recent times, I wonder how much time we spend with our phones and technology gadgets. Maybe we shouldn't get into that discussion, because some of us might be convicted and start practicing what the young people did at youth camp. Put the phone away and only use it 1 hour a day. Oh my, yes. Has anyone calculated how much time the average person spends in a hallway? The text reassures us that when God closes a door, He opens another. But what happens when the door closes and another one doesn't open? How do you handle life in the hall? Now, whether you like it or not, but there's several people that are here in this group tonight that are in the hallway. All the children on holiday, they're in the hallway. They're between sessions, you see. And there may be others in different situations in their life that are in the hallway. And life is moving all around us, but you may feel that you're standing still. A hallway is a means to an end, the prelude to the main event. If looked at correctly, they can also be memory makers of exciting moments. But imagine a home with no hall. Just think about it a minute. A home with no hall. An office building without a corridor, where doors lead from one room to another without transition. It would be unpleasant and it would be awkward. You're sitting in your office and you're doing your work, and all of a sudden the door opens up on one side. Somebody walks through and slams the door and walks out, walks through the door on the other side, slams the door, messed up your whole few minutes, you know. And it would be unpleasant and awkward, just like I said. Halls are more valuable than they seem. Transitions are a natural part of life. Human babies have a 9-month gestation period. It's the hallway to life for them. Toddlers learn to crawl before they walk. And, you know, they can't walk first, they have to crawl first. Teenagers receive a learner's license before permission to drive. Couples are engaged before marriage. The transition purpose is more than optional, it's necessary. If we didn't have the halls between the rooms of activity in our life, we might have real problems. The Bible's full of examples of people in transition. Joseph was in the hallway of prison. the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. David's vestibule was a cave. Jesus' hallway was 40 days of prayer and fasting. Paul's metamorphosis was blindness. In other words, he was blind for 3 days. Gave him time to think about his encounter with Jesus Christ. As you can see, hallways aren't always pleasant, lead me beside still water experiences. Sometimes they're unpleasant, or at least we view them as unpleasant. They may be stifling, yet vital in moving forward. Be thankful for the hallway. Be thankful that you do have a transition time between different things. I'd like for us to think for a few moments about the life of Moses. His life can be divided up into 3 periods of 40 years each. The first 40 years, Moses learned to be somebody because he was in the University of Egypt. And the second 40 years, Moses learned to be a nobody because he was on the backside of the desert checking on sheep. And in his last 40 years, Moses learned to help everybody. And it might be good for us just to kind of read about that. There's an account of it in the book of Acts. And so let's just go over there and we'll read a few of these verses and see what Acts has to say about Moses. In Acts chapter number 7, notice what it says here. And we'll start reading in verse number 20. Notice what's recorded here about the life of Moses. In verse number 20 it says, "In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel." That's the first 40 years is when he grew up and all that. And now he visits his own brethren. And in verse 24 it says, "And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren. Why do you wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me? As thou didst the Egyptian yesterday, then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Madian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired," here's the second part of it finished, "when 40 years had expired, there appeared unto him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in the flame of a fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, and the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord unto him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, and I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. And he brought them out after he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. And this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you for your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. So here we have the whole life of Moses kind of laid down here and given so that we can kind of see that he had some different rooms in his life, but he had hallways in between. Wouldn't you like to have been there for the, you know, the experience of the burning bush that did not burn up? Wouldn't that have been something? Wouldn't it have been something to have been there when he held his staff out over the Red Sea and the waters parted and the people went across on dry ground? I mean, can you just imagine some of these rooms that were connected by the hallways in his life? One thing I think that you have to learn about the hallways in life is you need to embrace the hallway. You might feel that you're in a, you know, you're in between thing, and you might feel that, things are not good. But the Bible says there in Acts 7:29, then fled Moses at this saying and was a stranger in the land of Madian, where he begat two sons. In other words, he was going to do what he felt God wanted him to do, but he wasn't doing it the right way. And he knew that he was a murderer and he had to leave. And he fled. And he was gone 40 years before God says, Okay, now it's time for you to go back and finish the job that you tried to start the wrong way. You see, Moses needed the hallway of the wilderness to learn to be a nobody. And we've got a lot of people, that think they're somebody. And they don't realize that they're just sinners saved by grace. And they're really a nobody. But it's only when God uses us that we become somebody. You understand me? And you might be in a hallway right now simply because you don't have your feet on the ground spiritually. And you're not really dug in to the Word of God and allowing the Holy Spirit to really work in your life. And So he needed that hallway, the wilderness hallway. Yet during this time he was married and had children and he learned to walk with God. Sometimes it's in the hallway we learn to walk with God. I hope that the young people that went to camp don't consider the camp just a hallway. I hope you realize that what you learned in camp you can use. And while you're still off school, make sure you stabilize your life spiritually. Make sure you learn to pray and get a hold of God. Make sure you memorize Scripture. Make sure that you strengthen yourself so that you can do something when God pushes you out of the hallway through a doorway into the next room in your life. And all of us, every day by day, we're changing. We're changing. Rudy is just going to experience being a grandfather. Well, in a few days, I'll experience being the ninth great-grand. Rudy, you just got to hang on to the Lord, brother. Okay? Yeah, you hang on to Him. And realize He's true and righteous and good, and He knows. And listen, you have to embrace the hallway. They're waiting on the baby to be born, just like we're waiting on the baby to be born with ninth great-grand. So you have to follow His leading in working with God's people as He wanted him to work. Moses had to learn his lesson. Have you learned your lesson? Hello? Have you learned your lesson? Are you still in the school of the hallway? The hallway school. Learn your lesson. Scripture is true. It's real. This is reality. We're living in life. And we have to take what God says to be the Word of God. And we have to depend on it because there's nothing else we can really depend on. Okay? An interior decorator might explain the hallway as a cleansing of the palate. Like you go from one room to the other through a hallway. And you dismiss what you remember about the room in here, and then when you go through the next doorway, you see a whole different room. Well, at least that's the way it is at our house. You see, we bought a house and all the walls were the same color. And we hadn't been there very long, and my wife said, you know, we need to paint some of the rooms. Okay? They were all the same color. She didn't want them to all look the same. She wanted the living room to look different from the kitchen. And she wanted the bathroom to look different from the living room. And she wanted the bedroom to look, you know. So fellas, when the wife asks you to paint the bedroom, don't fuss, just get the bucket of paint and paint the bedroom. Because you're not going to have any peace until you do. You got to get that bedroom painted, okay? I mean, that's the way to get it worked out. Yeah. And I just hope they pick the right shade. Because if they don't, you have to paint it again. Okay? So you embrace the hallways. You see, between painting bedrooms, you embrace the hallway. Thank the Lord we're not painting right now. Okay? And hallways give... it gives a change in relation to what was in the room you just came out of. The same is true in our lives. We need hallways. If a child was born and they stay a baby all their life, all of us would be very upset. Right? Oh, we'd be upset. The ladies first. They'd see it before the men. And they would be upset, real upset. Something has to be done about the baby. Okay? I can remember when my parents used to complain when I was young. My brother he was kind of a picky eater. And he'd sit down at the table and food was put on his plate and then he didn't want that or he didn't want this and I guess they thought he was going to die, but he didn't. He lived, and when he became a teenager, then my mother would come home and open the refrigerator door and try to get ready to fix something for dinner. And she'd say, you know, I thought I had some... Larry had gotten in the refrigerator and ate all the leftovers. And, you know, I mean... At one time they couldn't get him to eat, and then it came a time when they couldn't get him to stop eating, you know. So we need hallways. We really do. Jumping from one stage of life headlong into another is not wise. It's a recipe for burnout. It's good to have a little break now and then. And hallways are a time of rest in life. The exasperation of upheaval can heighten stress. But you need to relax when a hallway comes. Enjoy the break. Learn to stop and smell the roses. Embrace the hallway. You won't be forever in the hall. Because it's just the corridor between this room in your life and the next room in your life. So embrace the hallway. And then another thing, your worth is found in Christ. Our rooms in life and our hallways isn't really where we find our true worth. Where did Moses find his worth? He found his worth when he found the Lord in the burning bush. And he got involved with that. And he allowed God to work in and through him to be the blessing that God wanted him to be to his own people and go back into Egypt and bring them out. Once Moses got his focus on the Lord, he was ready to do God's business God's way. Plenty of people are secure in ministry and career. However, take it away and they crumble into a heap. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes we think busyness is accomplishment in life. And that's not... Busyness is just taking some of our life. But the busyness of it isn't the key to it. It's what we're accomplishing for the Lord is the key to it. You see, Moses was busy tending sheep on the backside of the desert. But God had him there so he'd find out that he was a nobody, so God could make him a somebody. Okay? And being comfortable doing nothing, you see, sometimes we have people feel they're doing something, but maybe if they analyze their life, they're not accomplishing much as far as the Lord is concerned. We've got to make sure that we're living and accomplishing what God would want us to accomplish. And you have to find yourself going, got to find your worth in the Lord. It's not in your busyness, it's your peace and satisfaction and knowing that there's value because of the Lord in your life. You've got to get that nailed down in your life. And it's very important that you do that. Because even people that are not preachers can still... your best soul winner may be somebody that's just a member of the church and they're a good Christian and they're faithful for the Lord and they're winning more people to the Lord than the pastor is. Maybe they have the contacts. Maybe, you know... So you have to keep that in mind. And then a third thing about hallways. What happens in the hallway changes you forever. I have a granddaughter's husband that just came out of a hallway. We were praying for him because he had a car accident, broke his leg. And just about a week ago, he went back to work. But he was in the hallway for a while. And I hope he learned some things. And things that happen in the hallway are just as important as things that happen in the rooms of life. Okay? And we need to always be learning something. Hallway moments take a whole lot of patience and trust. Sometimes it's when we're in the hallway that we really wake up, because things were going along and we were just busy, we were in the routine, and you know, and then all of a sudden, boom, we lost the job, or we, the car was wrecked, or you know, whatever it is, one of the relatives died, or you know, and whoa, what's going on here? You see, hallways. Sometimes in the hallway we kick and scream a little bit. Nobody is going to hear us, maybe. But it's a process, because we may be making a transition. My wife and I have been living in the hallway at times for a little while now. We go and serve here, and we go and serve there, and we go and serve over here, and we, you know, last time we went home, my wife said, you know, aren't we getting a little old for this? And here we are back over in Singapore doing it again. I don't know, you know, we're gonna enter the hallway soon. Okay? But you have to learn from the hallways. And you have to be ready for the rooms when you are going to go into them. And we've found our hallway time has been short the last 2 or 3 years. Hadn't had too much hallway time. Been pretty busy. And right now the next door is not completely open yet. But it's ajar. Because we do know we're going somewhere. Okay? We do know. But through the hall, we have grown. We've enjoyed being here at Heritage. It's been a great blessing. And I hope we've been a blessing to you. And I hope that, you know, we've learned a lot. And you learn in the hallways, you learn to wait on God's timing. And you learn to love Him when things aren't going according to the plan, at least the plan you had in mind. God's plan's the best plan. Listen to me, that's the best plan. So you got to be walking with God. You got to be walking in the Spirit. And transition births momentum, compassion and enthusiasm for the next phase, the hope of things to come. You know, God's about to open the door no man can close. I don't know about your life, but I know about mine. It gets kind of exciting when God opens the door and says, okay, I want you to enter a new room. I want you to do a new task. And it might be something I've not done before. It's a little scary. But if He lets, you know, let Him hold your hand, you can go through it. Are you willing to learn in the hallway of your life? Very important that we learn the lessons that God has for us to learn. Very important. And I hope that you realize that you have to let Him walk with you. There's a hymn that has always meant a lot to me, and it goes like this. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with His loving hand, He leads the way. And with each breath, I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to waver when up ahead I see a chasm wide. It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when He is by my side. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God no matter what may come, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Learn to walk with the Lord. Learn your lessons in the hallway so that you can do what you ought to do in the new room you're going into. By the way, what's that next room going to be for Heritage Baptist Church? Better pray about that one, hadn't you?